Ephesians chapter number 2, and I'm going to read for you verses 14 to 18. Ephesians 2, 14 to 18, and theme is really one word this afternoon, and that is the word peacemaker. Peacemaker. We read in God's Word, Ephesians 2, 14, for He is our peace. You know, we might wonder, who is He? Well, let's go back up to verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh or brought close by the blood of Christ. So He is Jesus Christ. We recognize that in the context of this scripture. So who is our peace? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Creator, the Redeemer. He is our peace, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Paul writes, He is our peace, who hath made both one. And I believe he's speaking there both of Jew and Gentile. And so there is no Jew, there is no Gentile. And when it comes to spiritual things, we are all one in Christ. He hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. We'll talk about that. Us being Jew and Gentile. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making what? Peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached what? Peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him, Jesus Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Once again, the theme, peacemaker. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be reminded of this very comforting, encouraging thought that we have in you. So many things that we have because we are in Christ. But we're reminded this Sunday afternoon, July 4th, that we have peace because you are our peace. And we pray today that you would be lifted up, that you would be exalted. We pray today for someone who has yet to experience true peace. For true peace only comes through you. It doesn't come through religion. It doesn't come through even a church. It doesn't come through signing a piece of paper in a treaty form. No, true peace comes through Christ. And so I pray today, if there's someone listening that is not saved, they are still under the wrath of God. They are not experiencing the peace of God, that today they would humble themselves before you and be saved. I pray for many believers today that we would recognize today the peace that passeth all understanding, the peace that comes through Jesus Christ, and that we would live in that peace, not in fear, but in peace. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a world in 2021, like really most of time, but it's very evident to us in 2021 that we live in a world of differences. Political differences, economic differences, social differences, spiritual differences, many different cultures, and it's not a negative thing to say there are many different cultures. Sometimes differences cause division. Obviously, a man and a woman are different in their way of thinking, so there's differences. And so there can be even conflicts in a home with a husband and a wife. When we think of the church, we have the body of Christ, but yet so many differences and different times when we got saved, different levels of spiritual growth. And so because of that, we all have a certain way that we think things ought to be done sometimes. And so, it could be said that differences, if not dealt with properly, differences can cause division. And of course, the context of our passage of Scripture here in Ephesians 2 is talking about there's much difference between a Jew and a Gentile. And we've been discovering that as we've been looking at the book of Acts and the early church and how that it only started with the Jew first and really emphasizing that. And then finally it was broke away and began to reach Gentiles and go into all the world and preach the gospel. But here Paul is trying, is attempting, not trying, but he's teaching us that in Christ, all differences are done away with. Think about that. In Christ, there is unity. There should be unity. Unfortunately, even in the church, even in Christianity, there's many divisions. And I don't think that's pleasing to the Lord. I don't think that's a, I don't think that helps the cause of Christ. And I'm not saying that we stand for nothing and we just take everything in and we just so we agree. No, we need to stand on the pure doctrine of the Word of God. And yes, doctrine does divide. And so it may sound like I'm saying on one hand, we need to unify. On the other hand, I'm saying doctrine divides. I'm saying that in Christ, Christ, standing for truth, who is the truth? What did Jesus say in John 14, 6? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so, no, I'm saying that we unify under truth. And when we unify under truth, we're going to accept the gospel, the Word of God, as it is. There is a oneness that brings us together on a common ground. What is our common ground? Our common ground is faith in Jesus Christ, God's Son. He did it all so that we might have eternal life. In verses 1 to 12, we're not going to go back and read those or even take the time to look at them today, but there is mention there, excuse me, about our past and our lost condition. Our past and our lost condition. Notice, we will look at verse 1. It says, He hath quickened, which means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And so, really, verses 1 to 12 talk about before someone comes to Christ. And so, if you're watching today, or you're watching at some point in the week, then if you've yet to accept Jesus Christ as Savior, then verses 1 to 12 are still very applicable to you. They're applicable to everyone. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But you are still dead, okay? You are still dead in your trespasses and sin. You say, Pastor Turner, I'm alive, I'm breathing. No, we're talking about your spirit. We're talking about your spirit is dead. What does that mean? That means if your body dies when your spirit is dead, then you will spend eternity in judgment, in hell, and eventually in the lake of fire. And that isn't something that I would wish on anybody, and that isn't my plan. That's what God has set up in His Word. He says in Revelation 20, 14, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And so the body dies, and then the spirit dies for all eternity. And so I would implore you today to listen carefully, because you're today still dead in your sin. You're still dead in your iniquity. You're still dead in your trespasses. And should your body die, which you have no idea when that's coming. I read today about a young man who's saved, praise the Lord, and knows the Lord, but he just found out he has cancer. We're praying for him that God would heal him, but God is in control of that. I'm just saying, you have no idea what's coming in your week. You have no idea what's coming in this year. You have no idea. And so that really, I don't know how someone can live really like that. That's a fearful way to live. The Bible even says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And so Ephesians 2, 1 to 12 describes either where you're at right now or where you used to be. I like how it starts off verse number 13. We read it a moment ago in verse number 13, but now. But now. And so there's a shift in Paul's writing. He's saying this is the way it was. This is the way it used to be. And now again, if you're not saved, that's the way it still is. And you need to claim verses 8 and 9, by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You need to be brought close. In other words, you are the enemy of God. You are at enmity with God if you're not saved. You do not have peace with God, which you cannot have the peace of God either. But all of this can change. All of this can change literally in the snap of a finger. Now, that's not how you change it, but it can happen that quick. Notice what Paul says in verse number 13, but now, in Christ Jesus. All right, let's look at this. Notice what he does not say. He does not say, but now, in your good works. He does not say, but now, in the church. He does not say, but now in a friend or a husband or a wife or a family or the pastor. You know, hey, he doesn't say, but now in the pastor. He doesn't say, but now in the tradition of religion. You could just name anything you want to name. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, but it's for you and it's for me today. He says, but now in Christ Jesus. Again, in Christ Jesus. What do we find in Christ Jesus? We find that once we were distant from God, and once we were away from God, but that says there we're afar off, but now, because of Jesus Christ, pure, sinless, holy blood. Look what it says there. But now are ye who were sometimes far off, are made nigh, are brought close by the blood of Christ. Oh, isn't that great? Isn't that encouraging? I'm brought close to the Father, God the Father. I'm brought close to the Righteous One. I'm brought close to Him. I'm no longer His enemy. Now I'm His child. Hallelujah. How did this happen? This happened when a transaction took place at the cross where we first saw the light and the burden of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the way. Oh, if you're not saved today, come to the cross. See the crucified Savior. See His see the nails in His hand, or the thorn in his head, the crown of thorns in His head. Excuse me. See the nails in his wrists and in His feet. See Him hanging there and saying, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" Because my sin, that's why God forsook Him. That's why God forsook your sin. Oh, see Him as He's taken off that cross. He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. He's taken off that cross and He's put in a borrowed tomb. See Him as He lays there for 3 days and three nights. And the devil thinks He's got Him. And the demons think they have Him. And up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph o'er His foes. Oh, see Him as He walks out of that tomb and victorious over sin, death, hell, and the grave. See Him as He's seated today, as He's seated beside the Father, interceding on behalf of God's children. See Him in His precious blood on the mercy seat. All of that. See it today. He is the peacemaker. He is the great peacemaker. Oh, today, if you're living and you're not saved and you're fearful and you're worried and you're concerned, oh, my friend, let me tell you, come to Jesus. In Him and Him alone, Paul said, in Him you who were afar are now made nigh. All differences can be settled with God through the peacemaker. Jesus Christ, the peacemaker. Reminded in this section about the body of Christ. The body of Christ. We talked about it just a moment ago. And the body of Christ is made up of Jew and Gentile. Look at verse 14. For He hath made, for He is our peace, who hath made both one. Hath made both one. Again, the Jews and the Gentiles, for the longest time, they did not get together too well. They didn't work too well together. This was before Christ. This was before the finished work. This was before the peacemaker. And there were differences. Look at verse number 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without who? Christ. Again, if somebody is without Christ, they're without peace. If somebody is without Christ, they are without hope. You know, sometimes as Christians, we need to be very careful. We live our life as if Christ Jesus has no part in it. We live our life as if there is no God. We say, you know, oh, Pastor Turner, I know God. I know there's a God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Pastor Turner, I know there's, the Word of God and all of that. But do we even seek God's leading? Do we even seek God's will for our life every day? I wonder. Let's not live our life as if there is no God. Let's not live our life as if Jesus Christ isn't our Savior. No, let's live our life as He is there, as He is interceding, and as His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is indwelling us. Let's live it in a way of peace. All hope in Him. No hope in me. no hope in the world, but all hope in Him. Christ Jesus makes the difference. In fact, so much so that in Christ there is no Jew, there is no Gentile. And so we praise the Lord that we are called, all of us today, we are called Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, sons of God. We don't deserve these titles, but we humbly acknowledge that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is our Savior. Not only that, we're going to think about it here now for a little bit longer today, and maybe even next week we'll see how the Lord leads, that He is our peace. All right? Let's look at number one. Number one, in verses 14 and 15, what Jesus abolished. What did He abolish? Look at verse 14. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished, done away with, in His flesh, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Paul tells us that Christ, and we're going to emphasize it, He is our peace. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, the great prophet of old said He is the Prince of Peace. When Paul says that He is our peace, it means that He is the ground of peace. He is the foundation of peace for both Jew and Gentile. Peace did not come through Jewish rituals. Peace did not come through Jewish sacrifices. Peace did not come through keeping of the law. Peace did not come through trying to see if my wrongs and my rights, if I could do more right than wrong. Peace did not come that way. It does not matter what you do or I do today. We're not going to get favor with God by living a more righteous life. No, we have all of God's love when He is love. All of it is available to us today, regardless of what we do. If we're not saved, then we're sinners in the sight of God, no matter if we're a really bad sinner or a really good sinner, whatever that means. And we know there are levels of sin, there's levels of punishment. But what I'm saying is, there's no hope, whether Jew or Gentile today, of approaching a holy God in our own merit. It's not going to happen. What the law could not do, what the sacrifices could not do, what the works of the flesh could not do, what our merit, which is not going to do it either, crossing our T's and dotting our I's. You know, the Bible says every jot and every tittle. It didn't matter if someone just kept all of those laws, not just the Ten Commandments, but all of the laws that were given. It did not matter. It would not accomplish what Jesus Christ accomplished. It would not abolish anything. It would not abolish anything. We are told that Jesus, here in the Scripture, hath broken down the middle wall of partition. Do you see that in verse 14? What does this mean? This phrase, broken down. Broken down. It means to dissolve something. It means to destroy it. It's no longer there. What once was there after Jesus Christ is no longer there. What is it that Jesus Christ abolished when He died? Let's take a look at a couple of things. Number one, He abolished a social wall. He tore down a social wall. Paul said the middle wall of partition. What is this middle wall of partition? This is reference to the wall that was between the court of the Gentiles and the court of Israel in the ancient temple. This wall was a little over a meter high, maybe a meter and a half or a meter and a third high. And it had several openings. Archaeologists tell us that they've discovered or recovered a sign that once hung on this wall. In fact, history teaches us that the same sign hung beside every entrance into the Jewish area of the temple. It was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And here's what it said in English. No foreigner, thankfully, may enter within the barricade which surrounds the sanctuary and enclosure. Anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his ensuing death. Wow. Boy, they took it very seriously, didn't they? You're not allowed to come to foreigners. What are foreigners? Foreigners were anybody that weren't Jews. All right? Everyone that wasn't a Jew was a foreigner. All right? And so, wow, this sign showed how strong the division was between the Jew and the Gentile. All right? And again, this is the middle wall of partition. This was a, we're looking at it in the sense of a social wall, in the sense of Jew and Gentile. And so, when Jesus died, this wall was gone, dismantled. This wall was broken down. It was abolished. It was done away with. When Jesus died, he brought the Jew and the Gentile together by himself. He tore down that wall. Praise the Lord. Those who know the Lord Jesus have discovered the walls of division have been torn down forever. There is no Jew and there is no Gentile in the sense of the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one. There is Christian, redeemed one, saved one. It doesn't matter the color of our skin. It doesn't matter the language that we speak. It doesn't matter our heritage. I'm not saying our heritage doesn't matter. I'm saying our heritage doesn't matter when it comes to Christ. We're all one. We're all one in Christ. Let's remember that today. This is what Jesus abolished. There's no place for looking down on someone of another skin color. There's no place in the church or in the world for that matter. But the world's full of sin, so sinners can't help it when it comes to that. But we're in Christ. We should be different. We have the peacemaker as our Savior. There should be no prejudice in the church with other skin colors and other backgrounds and other languages, and we need to be careful how we conduct ourselves and how we live our lives in this way. No, there's only one. There's only the Christian, the redeemed believer in Jesus Christ. Let me read a couple of verses, Colossians 3:11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all, notice, and in all. Christ is all. It's not Jew, barbarian, Greek, Scythian. You know, it's not whatever nationality you might be or I might be. No, we're all one in Christ. We are all the family of God. Number one, Jesus abolished the social wall. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For all are one in Christ Jesus. What are we saying? No person has any advantage over any other person. There is either a believer. When we have the human race today, we look at the human race. There is two categories in the human race. Number one, believer, and number two, unbeliever. That's it. There is no third category. There is no fourth category. And so he abolished the social wall. Number two, the second wall that he abolished is a spiritual wall. A spiritual wall. Look at verse number 15, if you would. Verse number 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Notice the statement, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. The word enmity there means hostility. Hostility. The source of the enmity between the Jew and the Gentile was in the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Okay? So, the Jew despised the Gentile because the Gentile dishonored and disregarded the law of God. The Gentiles despised the Jews because they sought to keep the law. Can you picture this? By the way, we have some of this same... I don't know how to even term it to be kind, but we have some of the same division even in the family of God, and if we're not careful, it's gonna ruin our opportunity to reach the unbeliever. Look, folks, We need to be praying for anybody that's preaching the Word of God. And we need to be praying that God bless their ministry and bless their preaching and bless their homes and bless their ministry. And we can't reach everyone in one church. You're not going to do it. We need to pray that God would bless every Bible preaching church. Now, I'm not saying bless every church. God's not going to bless every church. God's not going to bless a church that is not preaching His Word faithfully. And we need to pray that Anchor Baptist Church would always, whoever the pastor, doesn't matter who the pastor is, that it would, or the preacher of the day is, that the Bible would be held high and the truth would be proclaimed in love, and but yet that we would have a spirit of unity and a spirit of praying for the churches here in the Lower Mainland. Not every one of these churches in the Lower Mainland that are preaching the truth are just like us, but we're all one in Christ. Let's pray for one another that revival could take place and that more souls would be saved and that the family of God would be strengthened and realize Jesus is the peacemaker. And so you've got one saying, we don't like you because you don't like the law. One saying, we don't like you because you like the law. I mean, it's childish, isn't it? It's childish. That's why Baptist Friends is so important, because we seek to bring churches together and pastors together under truth, friendship, and world evangelism. And Lord, oh boy, I tell you, I'm praying that in the years that come, that this ministry will grow and grow and grow. I'm not saying numerically necessarily, but the emphasis and the impact is what I'm saying, that it would grow and grow and grow. And there would be other provinces that could have a Baptist Friends meeting in their province and so forth and so on. Pray with me about that. There was great hostility between the Jew and the Gentile. But see, there was also a great hostility between God and man. Between God and man. The Bible says that we were at enmity with God. We were at enmity with God. We were His enemy. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, maybe you know that verse. Let's turn back there. Romans 3:10. The reason why there was hostility between God and man, or enmity between God and man, is because of man, not because of God. We were guilty. We are guilty. God is holy. He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And so I'm guilty. God's righteous. Look at what it says here Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. You know what? You need to mark that verse in your Bible. We've been talking about Hosea and Gomer, and we discovered in lesson number one that God's love represented there in Hosea to Gomer was a seeking love. It was a seeking love. Look, friend, if you're saved today, it isn't because you sought God. It's because God sought you. And look, friend, if you're lost today, you're not going to be saved because you seek God. You're going to be saved because God is seeking you right now. You're not seeking Him. He's seeking you. His Spirit is saying, hey, you need to get saved today. You better stop putting this decision off. You better stop just turning off the preacher, turning off the Spirit, because eventually you'll turn Him off one too many times and it'll be too late. God is saying, I love you. I've given Jesus Christ so that you are no longer my enemy. You can be my child if you by faith will turn to Him today and accept His gift of eternal life. He will save you right now. And then that wall will be abolished. That spiritual wall. You see, you could pray to God today as an unsaved person. And I personally believe that only one prayer is going to be answered. And that's the prayer of faith to be saved. Otherwise, there's a wall. There's a wall between you and God. And so many times people have said, pray for me. I'm glad to pray for anyone. But I have access to God that an unbeliever doesn't. That doesn't mean I'm special. No, it means I've discovered who the peacemaker is. And that wall has been torn down. That veil has been rent in two. And so I have the blood of Jesus Christ atoning for my sin. No longer does God look at me as an enemy. God looks at me as His child. And if you're saved, He looks at you as His child as well. He abolished a spiritual wall. And verse 12 of Romans 3, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues have they used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. And the description here is of you and me before coming to Christ. I mean, it is an absolute disaster. Verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Oh, the best place you can find yourself today is to recognize that you are guilty before God if you're not on your way to heaven, if you've never accepted the peacemaker and what he did for you. You need to recognize that you're guilty before God. Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. You can work at it and work at it and work at it, and you're going to die and go to hell, and he's going to say, I never knew you, because you're not justified by your good works. Notice, for the law is the knowledge of sin. Praise God for the law. It tells me I'm a sinner. It tells you you're a sinner. It tells you you're a liar. It tells you that I'm a liar. It tells us that we're wicked. It tells us that we can't do it. There's no way we can do it. But it tells us, it points us to how wicked we are and how loving our Heavenly Father is. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3 and 16. Verse 21 of Romans 3. But now... Again, hey, do you remember that? Remember that but now? And verse 13, maybe you could draw a line. You could circle Romans 3:21 and circle but now, and right beside it, Ephesians 2:13. But now, same transition. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, Jew or Greek, doesn't matter. When we believe, the wall of social wall is torn down. Oh, but secondly, praise God, the spiritual wall is torn down. When Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, He tore down the social wall between the Jew and the Gentile. He tore down the spiritual wall between the lost sinner and a holy God. Praise be to God. Jesus Christ takes Jews and Jesus Christ takes Gentiles. As we go back to our text now in Ephesians chapter 2. And He makes us in Himself one new man. Do you see that there? Verse 15. For to make in Himself, Jesus Christ, one new man. What are we? We are Christians. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We are redeemed, not with silver, but with the precious blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That abolishment of the social wall, of the spiritual wall, has taken place. Oh, what a difference Jesus makes. Oh, what a peacemaker our Lord Jesus is, the only peacemaker. I am right with God, not by the deeds of the law. I am right with one another, not by my own merit. No, everything that is surrounded me of peace is only because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said that Christ Jesus abolished in His flesh the enmity. The enmity. The word abolish means to render inoperative, to deprive of force or power. In other words, by fully keeping the law of God, Jesus fulfilled the law of God. I can't keep the law of God, but Jesus did. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He fulfilled the law of God. Romans 10:4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The end of the law to everyone that believeth. When Jesus died, He rendered the law inoperative. It holds no claim over you anymore. It holds no claim over me anymore. I am free. I am free from its power to condemn. Only the purpose of the law now is not to condemn, but as we said a moment ago, it's to let us know that we're sinners. It's to expose sin. It's to let us know that Jesus Christ is who we need. Oh, it teaches us so much, but it doesn't condemn us. I love Romans 8:1. There is therefore now. That's kind of the key word right now, isn't it? But now. But now. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. No more condemned under the law to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. In 1961, the East Germans built a wall around West Berlin, Germany. This wall cut West Berlin off from the rest of Germany. Families and friends were separated for a generation by this wall. East German guards patrolled the wall and killed hundreds, including whole families who tried to cross the wall to freedom in the West. November 9th of 1989, the East German government announced that East Berliners could pass through the wall to visit the people in the West. A celebratory atmosphere broke out with both East and West climbing onto the wall. In a short time, souvenir hunters began to chip away at the wall. Before long, the governments of both East and West dismantled the wall completely. And the reunification of Germany would take place in 1990. Maybe many of you remember that. If you saw that wall coming down, maybe you saw some political leaders from other countries talking about it. I remember one in particular tear down that wall. It gives us a bit of a glimpse into what we're talking about here today from the Apostle Paul. When the wall fell, East and West could come together, where that wall was in the way for many years. Enemies embraced one another in a spirit of unity. Only one thing changed. Now, again, I know a lot changed, but really, one thing changed. The wall was torn down. And when the wall came down, peace came. Unity came. When Jesus broke down the wall at the cross, when Jesus broke down the wall by leaving the tomb, when Jesus broke down the wall by saying, "It is finished," and the veil was rent in twain. When all that took place, we were given perfect peace. We were given peace with God. We were given the peace that passeth all understanding. Longtime enemies could be brought together as friends. But more importantly, that one event, the greatest event in human history. Some would argue maybe the virgin birth. I guess one of the greatest, okay? When that veil was rent and that wall came down, that social wall, but more importantly, that spiritual wall was abolished. It meant that we could be embraced, that we could be in the presence of a holy God. Oh, my friend, today, don't you want that kind of peace with God? Don't you today want to know that God is not your judge? He's your heavenly Father. Only one way to have that take place. Turn to Christ today. Trust in Him. Put all faith in Him, not in yourself. Because not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Oh, dear Christian, we need to get along. We need to get along. God is our leader. Jesus Christ is our peacemaker. Let's seek to pray for one another, encourage one another, for the cause of Jesus Christ.